Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Good afternoon. This is Cheryl Hardy with Managing Safety, a radio talk show produced by the FAA Production Studios out of the FAA Production Studios at the FAST Team National Resource Center, Lakeland Linder Regional Airport, Lakeland, Florida. And I am here today coming to you live from the FAA Production Studios at the annual Seaplane Safety Seminar. And by the way, that is the 17th annual seminar, so there is quite a bit of history with this organization here at the FAA Production Studios, which we're proud to host today. And our guest today is Mr. Mark Twombly, and he is the editor of the Seaplane Pilot Association's Waterflying Magazine. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Cheryl.
Good to have you here. Oh, I'm so thrilled to have you here, and you are actually hosting today's seminar, and you have a great lineup of speakers today.
Yes, a little unplanned for me. Dr. Jim McManus, our executive director, was going to host it, as he has the last few years, but he had to have some surgery, which was successful. He's recovering, but for that reason was not able to make it.
Good. So Jim's doing well, and
yes,
we can
is.
Expect to have him out and about soon.
Yes.
Excellent. Jim, we're glad that everything went well, and wish you well in your recovery. We look forward to seeing you soon. Mark, I have in front of me this beautiful cover of a magazine put out by the Seaplane Pilots Association, and since you are the editor, you are the expertise that's behind this Waterflying magazine. Tell me a little bit about this publication.
Waterflying magazine is published by Seaplane Pilots Association. It's published six times a year, every other month. And it is a primary benefit of membership to the Seaplane Pilots Association, the same as Pilot Magazine is for AOPA, Sport Aviation, for EAA, an association publication. I worked with AOPA for 11 years, and I learned that an association has to communicate regularly and well with its members. And a magazine is the best way to do that because it answers all the needs, which is to tell the member what the association is doing for them, their primary role. And in the case of Seaplane Pilots Association, that's advocacy. Mm-hmm. And you also want to feed the dream. You
want to
people join Seaplane Pilots Association because they're involved with seaplanes. They have a love of seaplanes, and we want to support that, talk about it, get people enthused, want them to use their seaplanes. If they're not flying seaplanes, we want them to get involved with it, get a rating, and so on. We talk about pilot skills, proficiency issues, so that we're safe and comfortable out there flying. Things to do with your seaplane, places to go, all of those things, events coming up. So we try to hit all of the communication needs for Seaplane Pilots Association members.
Do you have a feature or standing articles that we can expect to see in every issue?
We try to provide a mix of an airplane, seaplane report, a float plane, or a flying boat. We try to have a destination piece, things to do with your seaplane. We try to have a technique or proficiency piece in there. We'll do profiles. So we try to have a mix. Generally, we have three features, sometimes four per issues, and have a mix of those topics.
You know, being the editor of a publication is a daunting task, and I do speak from some experience there, so I must say I do envy the publication. It's a beautiful publication, but it's a lot of work. Tell us a little bit what goes into putting this publication together.
Well, they say that there's two things you don't want to see being made. One is sausage and the other is law. And I would add a magazine to that because the ingredients that go into it and the process is kind of messy. Hopefully what comes out the other end is pleasant. But water flying... is primarily contributor written, the features. We depend on our members to send us stories in about their flying adventures, the airplanes they've built or are flying, lessons they've learned, and so on. We have a number of regular contributors who are very, very highly qualified seaplane pilots.
Nice.
Burke Meese, for one, he flies for Alaska Airlines. He's a designated examiner in seaplanes, an instructor, many thousands of hours, a very highly regarded individual, and he writes regularly for us. Mike Kincaid, who was an Alaska State Trooper, written a couple of books, has a seaplane flight school in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Mike Vivian also flew for the state of Alaska, is a regular contributor. Ken Moore pilots and so on. These are the kind of people who are regular contributors. But we also have what I call just over-the-transom articles. Someone, a member, will do something interesting and feel motivated to write about it and send us just a wonderful story and photos. And you just say, this is fantastic. We're very fortunate in that we have a steady supply of those stories that come in. I write stories as well for the magazine. I have a cover piece here in this particular issue we're looking at about Tavares. We had John Drury, the city administrator from Tavares, today as one of our speakers.
Yes.
And so I went there and interviewed him and other officials, looked around and did some flying with Eric Weaver, who's now based there. And wrote about it, the biggest little seaplane city in the U.S., which is just a very exciting development for the seaplane world, a city that is spending millions on developing a seaplane base because it attracts not only seaplane people but the public to the town, and it has revitalized the town. So it's a wonderful story.
Well, I'll slide a compliment in here, too, while I'm at it, but feedback tells me from people I've spoken to that you're quite a writer, a very good writer.
Well, thank you very much. It's what I started out doing in high school. I'm dating myself a little bit, or maybe
all right.
A lot, but I grew up at a time when journalism was highly regarded. Not so much these days, unfortunately, but it was kind of the Watergate era and so on, and journalists were doing great work, and I was fascinated by newspapers and newspaper reporting, and I was just naturally attracted to that. No one in my family had done it. I don't know why I was attracted, but, you know, that's the way it is. You're just attracted to something for some reason.
Absolutely, and you're hooked. Once
yes.
you're hooked,
so I went
in
into that field. My father, however, was a pilot, professional pilot.
Ah.
And so he taught me to fly, and I also have three brothers who are pilots, two who fly for the airlines.
That's fantastic.
And so it's in our family. And my sister, it turns out, she doesn't fly, but she's a writer. And now my middle son, Ian, learned to fly when he was a student at the University of Florida. And guess what? He's a writer.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
He's working for AOPA pilot and flight training, where I used to work as well. So
you're leaving quite a legacy.
So. I'm as proud as can be of my son.
I imagine so. I just absolutely imagine so. You know, I'm looking at these covers and looking at these great photos. I see some nice air-to-air photography here. How are you achieving that? Are your contributors submitting as well?
Well, it's again, I have to say, I shoot photos, and so I try to shoot pictures. We're looking at three magazines. None of these are my photos. They were in two cases, submitted by the writers, which is, I mean, it's just wonderful to have a great, interesting story and then get fabulous photos that you can put on a cover. In the story that I wrote about Tavares, we stayed at a bed and breakfast called Norman House. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. It's an old kind of mansion in Tavares. And it turns out that the guy who owns it is a professional photographer. And so I told him why I was there, and he said, oh, I could shoot some pictures. So I enlisted him to shoot some pictures, and we got this great stuff. It's sort of serendipitous.
Sure.
But it works out. You know, as with many things, when you're enthused about an activity, You just go the extra mile.
Right.
It's not about pay, because that's not what we can do. It's really about just wanting to tell a story, people wanting to write about their experiences and take photos and so on. So.
The Seaplane Pilot Association, like many other associations, seems like a tight-knit group. There's a special camaraderie, I think, that is involved there as well. I mean, we have the camaraderie among the pilot community as it is, but the seaplane pilots seem to have a special camaraderie all their own, too, and it's very clear that your association members are very devoted to the association. Can you expound on the association and its benefits as well to its members? Because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that perhaps haven't taken the jump and become members. And day by day, we know that seaplane pilots are coming out of the woodwork and getting their ratings and all that good stuff. So we want to make sure they know about this organization.
Yeah. We do have about an 87% retention rate when someone joins. 87% of the population comes back and rejoins, which is very good.
It is very good.
It's very good, and we're proud of that. As I mentioned in my presentation today, Seaplane Pilots Association was founded in the early 70s because of a need to band together to advocate on behalf of people who like to fly on and off the water. And not surprisingly, there are people who don't do that who would not like to see seaplanes on their lakes or rivers because typically of a perceived safety problem that really doesn't exist. And noise is an issue as well, but seaplane noise is a very transient noise. It's really not like a boat that kind of hangs
right
around and so on. It comes and goes.
Right.
It's here and gone quickly. But anyhow, it was formed in the early 70s as an advocacy organization, and that's always been its mission, to advocate on behalf of seaplane pilots to preserve and extend our privilege and right to operate off of bodies of water throughout the United States. And to do that, we work with everything from the Bureau of Land Management on a federal level down to local city and county commissions that want to restrict operations on a particular lake or something like that. And it involves writing letters, phone calls, public hearings. We depend a great deal on our network of field directors, people who hold the formal title of field directors, active seaplane pilots who are responsible for a certain geographic area.
Mm-hmm.
And they monitor what's going on in their area in terms of possible potential restrictions or problems, and get involved with them on a personal level, because with a very small national staff, seaplane pilots cannot get involved in every battle, just as AOPA can, which has a much larger staff. They can't get involved in every battle. They depend on the local pilot to carry the torch, as do we. We can provide supporting materials and so on. But that's what we do. We advocate. We have our magazine that we publish. We publish a water landing directory. This is our airports directory, if you will, published every other year. And it's really the only resource out there for somebody to determine whether or not you can actually operate off of a body of water. This information is provided to us by our members. It covers all of the states and Canada. And it doesn't include every body of water in the United States because, as you can imagine, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of those. These are ones that we've been made aware of.
Mm-hmm.
We start out with a listing of state aviation policies regarding seaplanes. We list, we have contact information for state aviation, state organizations with any kind of jurisdiction. We talk about their policies. Then we go into specific bodies of water to say whether they're open, restricted in some fashion, or closed. We list seaplane bases, and there's some other information in there as well. As I say, it's the only resource you have for trying to determine whether a body of water is open to seaplane operations. Very important resource for our members, and as I say, published every 2 years.
Let me ask you quickly, what are the annual dues for the Seaplane Association?
$45, and for that you do receive your magazine 6 months or six times a year.
And your water flying directory.
And a water flying directory, exactly.
And you have tools on the website.
We do. Member-only sections on our website, which is www.seaplanes.org. For instance, our water landing directory is available online.
So
at
you're
our
telling
website.
Me that for $45 I can join this association. I, number one, I have the voice of the seaplane pilots in the country working for me. I get the directory. I get the magazine, plus all the other benefits on the website. That's a win-win situation.
It is. It is. And I cannot stress the advocacy role enough and being a part of that effort, because it is a very small community, and with government officials, numbers matter. The more numbers you can claim are behind you, the more influence you have. Seaplane community is a small community. We need those numbers. We need everybody pitching in to do their part and demonstrate their support. And being a member of SBA is how you do that.
Let me tell you, you are welcoming your membership's participation. Communication, 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 that's everything. And it sounds like your members are clearly hearing you and responding, and that's admirable. Your retention rate is excellent. That speaks for itself. More than that, I can't say. The organization seems to be on a great climb. I'm sure it's feeling some of the urges of the economy as it is.
Yes.
But with that kind of a retention
yes.
rate, I
right.
certainly wouldn't be complaining if I were running the organization.
Right.
That's for sure.
There are fewer people getting ratings these days, not surprisingly.
Sure.
But one of the motivations for getting a seaplane rating, other than the fact that it's just a wonderful thing to do. When I worked the Oshkosh and Sun and Fun booths for the Seaplane Pilots Association, you can just stand in the booth for a while and you see, people walk by with that sort of glazed, dazed look they have, and they'll wander by and then they'll stop. They'll go a few feet past and they'll stop. They'll come back around and they'll look in front of the booth, and
sure.
they'll say, I've always wanted to have a seaplane rating.
I'm laughing, Mark, because I did exactly that in Oshkosh as Jim was sitting in the booth, and I walked by, and I literally just mimicked everything that you just mm-hmm. said, and I backed up, and I turned, and I looked, and I said, Jim McManus, nice to meet you, and introduced myself.
Yeah.
And so I clearly get it.
Yes.
I really do.
And it's on the face of it, it's just a great thing to do. Sitting the first time when I got my rating, the first water landing we made, we stopped out in the middle of the lake, and I was in a J3 Cub on straight floats, and I looked around and I said, this just ain't right. I should not be out in the middle of a lake in an airplane, but boy, is it neat. It's just such a fun thing to do and a different skill set. So getting your rating is just a great thing to do as a pilot, because, again, it calls on different skills that really help any kind of flying that you do. It counts as a flight review.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a program with instructors and seaplane schools where you can get a free six-month membership to the Seaplane Pilots Association. So there you go.
Oh, that's incredible. Mm. Well, let me tell you, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you here today. And I know I stole you away from your seminar to talk with you for a few minutes, and I really appreciate you doing that. And I know you need to get back to your speakers and attendees, because you've been an excellent host today, and we truly
you.
Appreciate it. Are there any words of closing you'd like to give to our listeners?
Well, I would say stop dreaming and just go do it. It's not expensive. It's about $1,000, and I just don't know how you could spend $1,000 and have as much fun and feel as satisfied, and something you can talk about and brag about and all of that. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Excellent. Well, thank you again Thank you for this, this great day that you've brought to the FAA production studios and the great people that came to this seminar today as well. We appreciate
them. It's been a good day. Very interesting program.
It has been a good day. And, you know, we've got a lot of online viewers today, too. So your audience is out there. Well, this is Cheryl Hardy with Managing Safety coming to you from the FAA Production Studios from the 17th Annual Seaplane Seminar with the Seaplane Pilots Association. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, listen in next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.